This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening to you for Wednesday, June 26, 2013. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Can you believe it's the end of June already?
No, half the year gone, just like that.
I know,
that.
It's gone.
It's gone fast.
6 months after December 21st, and we're still here. I'm scared.
Well, I know. Apparently, apparently doomsday never came.
Never came.
It's been delayed, anyway.
Had to catch up on my
bills. Definitely. Yeah, then it comes. That's the universal joke there. I'm going to make
there
you pay
we go.
The bills.
Good show tonight. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we've got Dr. James Nelson with us, and he's going to be talking about parapsychology and related phenomena, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, we also operate the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a metaphysics school offering bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in a variety of specializations. We also operate newageclass.com for standalone certificate and certification courses. If you'd like more information about the degree program, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. And of course, if you'd like information about just standalone courses, visit newageclass.com. We'd like to do our profession of beliefs before we get into the meat of our topic tonight. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these 9 principles, please visit mchschurch.org. You can find out more about them. And if you like what you're hearing, you're certainly welcome to join MCHS Church. Registration's right there on the website. So we welcome those who are joining us live tonight. We have several in the chat room. We also appreciate those who are listening to the archive. Thanks for taking your time. Tonight, our guest is Dr. James Nelson. He is a parapsychologist and a graduate of IMHS, the degree program. If you've got a comment or a question for Dr. Nelson tonight, you're more than welcome to call in. Dr. John Hightower is manning the phones. You can call in. The number there is 714-459-3973. Dr. James, welcome to the program.
It's great to be here, Dr. Kelly.
And now what do we talk about? So
have you seen any ghosts lately?
Yeah. Have you seen any ghosts? That's an interesting question coming from her.
Yeah.
Well, seeing, no. I have to say I've never experienced anything visually like that. I have found I'm more auditory when I pick up impressions at all, which is kind of strange. But I don't.
Awesome.
Something that never frightened me. It was just kind of like, oh gosh, what was that?
So let's just start with the beginning with you, James. What got you into this?
Well, there were a few things. It's almost embarrassing to say. I started getting interested in paranormal research back in 2004 when Ghost Hunters came on the air. And I'd never heard of actual paranormal investigators. I was thinking like, it sounded like Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all know that's a movie. So it was interesting to see that there were people who actually did this. And so I started reading up on it and going to the library and looking for books. And I wanted to, you know, find people who had done this for a while and who knew what they were talking about. And the more I learned, the more I realized just how vast the field is than just going out into the spooky house at night with a flashlight mm-hmm. and an EMF meter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, and you know, and Ghost Hunters, the series did a lot, you know, for the field. I mean, it got a lot of people interested in it, obviously.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
And so, you know, it did some good there. And
for me anyway, I wouldn't have been in here had it not been for that show. I decided to take the next step and feel like, well, you know, if I'm really interested in this, I got to do my homework. I have to, you know, find primary sources and read about it and find out how long this has been going on. And you read about the Society for Psychical Research in England, and that was formed in 1880, and then the American Society for Psychical Research formed in 1883, and this has been a science for well over 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has. And so, okay, so you got doing your research and reading up on things, and what was your next step?
I wanted to actually go to school to get a degree in parapsychology. I do have a degree from my local university and a bachelor's, and I just thought this would be a time to go back to school, and I was looking it up, and no place offered degrees in parapsychology.
Yeah.
And so I was doing research on that, and you know, because I was thinking, well, the Rhine or the Duke University had mm-hmm. a parapsychology laboratory, and you read that closed down. Princeton Engineering Anomaly Research, the PAIR research laboratory closed down, I think, in mid 90s or so. And outside of or inside the United States, there just weren't that many places willing to teach psychical research, parapsychology, things like that. And
right.
So I stumbled across Paranexus one day and saw the certified paranormal investigator training that was offered there. And I decided to sign up, and through that, I saw the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, and I just thought, this is something that I need to do.
And you did.
I did. I'm very pleased with the education I got from that. I know a heck of a lot more than I did going in. Which I'm always pleased with gaining knowledge from my studies.
Yeah, always a good thing. And,
yeah.
You know, spend the time doing it, you might as well learn something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I have to say something on that too. The reason that Dr. James is even on the show tonight is because of the grounded and objective approach he demonstrated throughout his studies, and especially as he got into the master's program on paranormal science and parapsychology. And I mean, gosh, his dissertation was on the nature of human belief, the paranormal and psychical research. I mean, that's just a great topic, you know, human belief. I mean, that's kind of what parapsychologists do. Let's talk about that. You know, what's the difference between a parapsychologist and just a paranormal researcher? Any ideas or thoughts on that?
Well, a parapsychologist studies the nature of consciousness, which this is what the Psychical Research Society started with before it was called parapsychology. They were looking for answers as to, you know, why do we see or hear or feel things that aren't there? So basically the theory is, and this hasn't changed much in the last 100 years, is that we perceive these paranormal phenomena through psi, or you know, psychical feelings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that you're not actually seeing a ghost, you are getting sort of an ESP impression of what the ghost looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You're not actually hearing a ghost because a ghost does not have, you know, vocal cords or a throat in order to make sounds. So you are perceiving that sound psychically. And everyone, to a certain extent, has psychic ability. Some people have it, you know, much more attuned to others. Some people have been able to train themselves, and some people just, they get intuition, and that's just what they call it. Like, oh, I had this feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That something was going to happen. And so the study of parapsychology differs somewhat than just paranormal research in that you're studying three basic things. You're studying extrasensory perception, which is the non-physical transfer of information, mind-to-mind communication. You're studying psychokinesis, which is the ability to physically influence an object without actually laying hands on it or touching it with anything. It's mind-matter interaction. And then there's studying survival of bodily death, the survival of the soul, which both ESP and psychokinesis really, you know, that those both come into play.
And so to kind of sum it all up, you know, the differences is that with parapsychology, and we could even take it as kind of tighten it up a little bit, even with some of these academics who are involved in parapsychology, they are strictly involved with psychic phenomena, psi phenomena, the human mind and psi phenomena, whereas some who are a little more relaxed can go a little broader. And personally, I think that, you know, taking it a little bit broader is kind of the way to go. But that's my opinion. So parapsychology really deals with human mind and psychic ability and psi ability. Whereas paranormal research, we kind of get into the ghost thing. And
right.
A lot of folks kind of blend or blur the two. You can do both, you know, and there may be a connection with both. Well, certainly there's a connection with psychics, you know, who also perceive potential spirits, right?
That's very true. Most professional parapsychologists who study survival, and there aren't many, you made a very good point. Most academics who are studying parapsychology don't study survival. They mainly study ESP and psychokinesis. Survival is kind of the black sheep of the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's there, but academics generally don't want to.
Yeah.
Touch with that, because as soon as they start, you know, mentioning ghosts,
mm-hmm.
you know, people start going, oh, somebody's lost their mind.
Well, you know, a few years ago we had the opportunity, I had the opportunity to interview Dr. William Roll, who
mm-hmm.
coined the term RSPK, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. He's since deceased now. He passed what a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And but anyway, I had an opportunity to interview him on two different occasions. He was pretty adamant. You know, he did not like the word paranormal. He didn't use the word paranormal to define or describe what he did with parapsychology because he didn't think it was beyond what's normal. He thought it was normal part of the human psyche, you know, human makeup. So, and he was pretty much a materialist. I mean, he didn't really believe in life after death, as he stated to us. So, you know, you get these academics who are materialists, that means that all material things, everything can be explained by material things. Everything can be explained by the physical brain. Mm-hmm. But the mind and the brain are the same thing. There's no difference.
You know, Doug, if I can jump in here. Kathy's saying in the chat room that it helps to study quantum physics along with paranormal studies. Does that make sense, too?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Quantum physics is probably the science that is closest to effectively forming a model for paranormal activity, such as entanglement, which basically says that, you know, particles that were once together, once they are separated, you can transmit information instantaneously between them, no matter what the distance is. And that would account for ESP, the ability to exchange information. And you know, as the Institute teaches, we are all star matter. That would make sense. We all come from the same place. We're all part of the same thing. So we would have this ability to exchange information at these quantum levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, really parapsychology, as we broaden it a little bit, and I personally like to broaden it to paraanthropology, which basically gets into the why and how everything fits together. And before I even get into this, you know, my approach to it has always been the so what approach, right? So you got psychic ability, so what? What does that tell us? You got a great picture of a cool ghost, so what? What does that tell us? So you got a great UFO picture, so what? What does that tell us? You know, I want to go beyond. And so all of this talk is, you know, quantum entanglement, even somewhat of the Heisenberg, I'm drawing a blank.
Uncertainty,
thank you. Uncertainty principle. It all is reflected, too, in the work of Clive Baxter with, you know, the plants, putting his lie detector machine back in the 60s on a philodendron, I think he did, and got reactions when he simply thought about burning a leaf. Mm-hmm. And so it's fascinating stuff that, you know, even parapsychologists could broaden out a little bit and just, you know, explore some of that stuff.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, what I find interesting about paranormal research and parapsychology and quantum physics is, well, two things. One is that I feel the world gets a little bit smaller when we start thinking in terms like this. It doesn't seem like we are multiple people living on one small planet. We're all basically the same. So for me, the so what for that is, I feel the study of this is probably one of the only sciences that could really help bring people together in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of studying parapsychology and psychical research, I find it fascinating that people have these innate abilities that they either deny or they're not even really aware that they have. And it makes it feel like we are greater than we give ourselves credit for. You know, we say mm-hmm. things like, well, we're only human, or, you know, I'm only human. I made a mistake. And I feel like, well, being human is pretty amazing. You know, mm-hmm. we have these powers that we don't even know. And maybe it is incumbent upon us to use them for the greater good and not for, you know, trying to find a way to weaponize something. Even though back in the 60s, I think the CIA tried to figure out a way to create psychic special agents to spy on the Soviet Union.
I think they're still doing that, aren't they?
they might be. I know that the Stargate program, I think, closed down in the late 70s. They might have just, you know, switched programs. There's a pretty funny movie about that, The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little theatrical, but the point was, I think, the same, that mm-hmm. America had tried to create these psychic supermen, and that's the thing about these powers is most people don't really know how to control them, so it's really difficult to use them consistently every single time that you want to.
Yeah, that's true. So let's get into some of your own experiences with parapsychology, paranormal, whatever you want. What have you had any meaningful experiences where you were able to learn something? Or
well, I've had, like I said, I've had two experiences where I heard something. Actually, one where I heard something and one where I felt something. And one of them was very meaningful to me. It was back in 2001, and a family pet that I had as long as I could remember had passed away. And early in the morning, you know, we only had one pet, but I felt like an animal jumped on the bed next to me.
Hmm.
And it was very clear. It wasn't like I was asleep and maybe I dreamed it. I was awake. It was very, very clear to me. And it gave me some comfort.
Yeah, so what was the lesson there? What did you learn?
Well, I learned, for me, I learned that, you know, it's not, death is not really the end. We like to say that, you know, death is the end of all things, and I don't believe that. Personally, my philosophy is I don't believe it, and I feel like that was a reinforcement of that philosophy, that it is a change of form, but it is not the end that many people think it is. And continue.
No, I was going to say, do you think that everybody has these experiences all the time, they're just not giving attention to them? Could that be
part
of it too?
I think that's it. I think a lot of people, they'll get these experiences and they will find a way to explain it away. You know, they'll hear something and they'll say, oh, I'm tired. My ear, and that's not to say that everything is at the time anomalous really is paranormal. Oftentimes it is just a heater that is kicking on in the middle of the night, or there's a loose floorboard. But I think a lot of people get these little intuitive moments, and they don't pay attention to them. They explain them away, and I think for some people, accepting the fact that there's more out there is very frightening, and so it's easier to say that was my mind playing tricks on me.
Yeah, but you get both sides. You know, there was another something involved in what in your experience when you felt an animal jump on the bed after just having lost your pet, your friend. You know, what does that tell you about human nature? You know, that we feel comforted, we have hope, and how important hope is, you know, to human beings. So a lot of people, I mean, what you just said was correct. There's a lot of people who just try to explain it away because they may be afraid. But then on the other hand, there's a lot of people who perhaps go too far. Everything is a paranormal event because, you know, they need hope.
That's true. I've known a lot of people who act like that too. It's misinterpreting completely natural phenomena. I did a training weekend with my group last summer, and I had one of the investigators who completely went bonkers. we were on the verge of taking her to the emergency room. I mean, what happened was she started apparently going into a trance, and she was giving information on the spirit she was talking with.
Mm-hmm.
And when she started to pull back, she got these really uncontrollable shivers and shaking. I mean, her whole body was shaking. And so we had to take her down to the living room, and it seemed like, you know, she couldn't stop shaking. And one of the investigators said, we need to get her out of the house. And so we tried to bring her out of the house. And she just, once we left the house, she started screaming. And this was like 12:30 in the morning.
Ouch.
And we were afraid, you know, oh God, the people are going to think we're kidnapping this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were at the coast, and we drove her down to the beach, and one of the members there was a Reiki healer, and he was trying to use Reiki on her, and he was suggesting that we pour salt water from the ocean on her to try to cleanse her. And I mean, at the time it was really scary because I didn't know what to do. And we ended up having to, you know, we ended up blessing the whole house because we just couldn't get her to stop. For almost 2 days, we couldn't get her to stop with these mild attacks. But interestingly enough, what made the attack stop, in my opinion, was she started asserting boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically just shouted at the top of her lungs, you know, that, you know, she stated her name, and she says, and I'm not going to let you do this to me anymore. And she really just, I felt, took back her power.
Now, could it be, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here, because could that also have been a form of hypnotic hysteria?
It could have been. I talked to a doctor, an MD friend of mine, and a psychologist about that. And the one thing I wanted to find out, I said, what would make somebody shiver like that? Because I've never seen anybody that wasn't pulled out of ice cold water shake like that.
You just need to go down to the Holy Rollers Church. You'll see it every week.
Yeah. Well, basically, it was, they said it sounded like a panic attack. And I talked to the therapist, and she said, you know, she works in the emergency room, and had said, you know, if we'd brought her in, they would have given her, you know, anti-anxiety.
Well, I have a question. During the time that she was not herself, was there anything of value, anything that somebody would deem as valuable coming from her speech, or anything that she was offering up that could have interpreted it to be, you know, for the lack of a better term, a possession of some kind?
No.
Okay.
The information that she gave, I recorded and I wrote down, and I did research on it, and that did not pan out at all. So, and that's not to say she wasn't in contact with the spirit. I mean, honestly, the end result of this is I'm highly skeptical of what happened, but I can't say for certain that she didn't have a paranormal experience.
Yeah, and likely, and this is what I think in studying these kinds of cases, hypnosis being the state of mind,
mm-hmm.
It could have been in her environment. She had a fear attack and went into that, you know, a state of mind being hypnosis, and went into hysteria. I mean, one of the things I was taught in the 1970s by my hypnosis teacher is to be on alert for things like that, which they deemed at that time as hypnotic hysteria, and how to bring people out. And what you say, she took her power back, that would be one of the suggestive, you know, signals to somebody who's having that experience to bring them back, like more to their own state of mind.
Yes, and that sounds. I can't rule that out. That sounds like that could have been.
It sounds like happened. A hypnotic ab reaction.
Yeah,
honestly.
But as I was saying, as soon as she sort of took her power back, it stopped, and she was fine for the rest of the time that we were down there, which is I think another day. And we, after that, we halted any on-site research because we didn't want to stir anything up with her again. But she was the only one who had that attack. Everyone else was fine.
In keeping with Occam's razor, what does that imply to you? What's for a psychologist?
Well, the simplest solution being the correct one, I would have to say it wasn't paranormal. I was able to find out later that there were some secondary gains that she was achieving by being in this state.
Mm-hmm.
She was sweet on one of the investigators, and he sort of came to her rescue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm. Sorry if I could interrupt. What I'm hearing here is being an investigator, you have to have a basic understanding of human behavior, the psychology,
yes.
some insight as to people dynamic, not just investigate what we think is paranormal. And I think that's a real stress point for all of us to keep note of.
Well, that's absolutely critical. All paranormal investigations, honestly, deal with people. And you have to know about people to be able to effectively investigate. I mean, if we're going under the assumption that these spirits are people, we have to know how to talk to them. We can't just treat them subhumanly to try to get reactions from them and things like that. You really need to know people and have, you know, a basic understanding of psychology.
You know, because I think that there are some people of certain belief systems who would perform an exorcism. You know,
yeah.
I mean, really.
They would.
Yes. And we basically did that. We just did it from a more grounded point of view. Instead of throwing out the spirit, we essentially facilitated her into taking back her power and setting her own boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was very clear with them. I said, you know, we can't do this for her. She has to be able to do this herself. She has to want to be able to set that boundary and to take back her power and to be herself. Otherwise, you know, she's just letting the spirit or whatever walk on her. So from the point of view of if we're going under the assumption that it was a spirit, it was clingy to her in some way. And by setting her boundaries, it would help release that. If we're going under the assumption that she was having an ab reaction, I felt that having her sort of assert control over her own situation as well would help her to calm down and to regain her control.
I have a question, if I may, mm-hmm. James. In your experience and in your research, you know, it's very common for us to hear about people who have had contact with spirits or ghosts and, you know, they've channeled them and so on, just like we've been discussing. But the next part of my question would be how many cases in ratio would be aliens being channeled through somebody or from another space and time galaxy and so on? Like,
well,
is this happening more often is a question too.
Well, from my research, I honestly don't have the answer to that because it's possible that what we are labeling as ghosts are not spirits at all. They could be interdimensional beings or aliens. It could be a time snap. A lot of these things could explain.
Explain a time snap to our audience, our listeners.
Oh, a time snap is when you suddenly find yourself in another time. There was a famous case, I think, back in the early 1900s, where two women were at Versailles, and they were walking around the palace grounds, and they turned around and they saw someone in the costume of Louis XVI, and they just assumed this was somebody who was a historical reenactor. And they kept running into these people, and everyone spoke French, and they, of course, didn't speak French. And I don't believe there was any interaction with the characters. So when they spoke to them, they just ignored them, and they found themselves back in the present time. There are a few theories as to how that works out. It's a bit like time travel.
There's a book, Time Storms, by I think Jenny Randles, on that. There's been a number of eyewitness testimony that scenarios similar to that. It's like, you know, the universes are overlapping or something.
Well, this is where I wonder about reincarnation being what you just described as mental time snaps. And like I have a lot of what I call past life memory, but I'm open-minded enough to consider that they could be alternate dimensions of other time space simultaneously occurring now, you know?
Yes.
All right, so let's go on to another topic because we're running out of time. James, what do you see? What's in your future in terms of your work, your research? What do you want to accomplish?
Well, I want to add to the, I'll do my best to add to the body of paranormal research. It might not be anything that we find an answer to or a breakthrough in my lifetime, but I feel that if we're ever going to get a breakthrough, we need to be looking for it. I'm not a I dislike the term ghost hunter.
Yeah.
It just, to me, it's like saying an anthropologist is a people hunter, where, you know, I'm studying a phenomena, and we have some hypotheses and a few theories on why these things are happening, but we don't really have a complete understanding of it. And I would just like to do my part to add to our understanding of this field.
Okay, cool. And so what would you recommend to somebody who wants to do a similar thing, wants to, maybe they're a ghost hunter now, maybe they're an amateur researcher, investigator, and they want to take it to the next level, what would you recommend?
Well,
that's not a loaded question.
Well, my first recommendation would be to go to the library and look for any book they can on parapsychology. I have found anything by Lloyd Auerbach is worth its weight in gold in terms of a grounded approach to paranormal research. Online, there is the Institute of Noetic Science. I recommend looking into that, their work there. The Rhine Research Center is another good resource. There's the Parapsychology Association, which is a member of the American Advancement of Sciences.
IMHS.
Yes, and Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, Paranexus. Basically, before I would say to anybody that they need to start spending money, my first recommendation is hit the library, do research, make sure this is something that you really want, because honestly, it's not exciting to do this. It's it's research, and you have to want to do it. You're not going to be, you know, wandering around with a PKE meter and finding ghosts. So it takes somebody who actually wants to do research to do that. And go to the library, find out if it's something that you want to do. And then if it is, my recommendation is take the next step and get a formal education in it as much as you can, because it knowledge is power in this field. It really is.
Good. And those are good suggestions. And obviously, if anybody is interested in taking it the next level, there's two options that we offer. One is at newageclass.com. It's the CPI course that Dr. James had mentioned earlier on, Certified Paranormal Investigator course. You can take that. It's a standalone certification course. Then if you want to take it to the next level, go to IMHS, metaphysicsinstitute.org, and look at the degree program for the paranormal science and related specializations. That includes parapsychology or ufology. There's also cryptozoology, but the paranormal science and parapsychology and ufology are all kind of combined, and you can specialize in any one of those, but you get trained in all of them. So that's and you will not find the training you get here anywhere else. It's quite unique, and it takes a unique approach. As James had said earlier on, you got to know people, you got to understand people, and we can even take that a step further and say you got to know yourself. You got to have a good relationship with yourself, and that's why the IMHS degree program lays down all those life skills and relationship skills and boundaries and critical thinking skills, so that you know, you get trained properly. So there's more info there.
I have a question for James quickly. I know we're running out of time, but James, do you have a group that you work with, or if people are interested to get a hold of you, is that a possibility? Are you open to that? Do you have a website or anything?
Yes, I have a small paranormal research group. It's called Paranormal Researchers of Portland. The web address is www.parapdx.weebly.com.
Do you want to say it again? One more time.
www.parapdx.weebly.com.
Awesome.
Cool.
I'm sure we've got that. Now we've got in the archives, too, a repeat. So if anybody is interested, you can get a hold of James through his website.
Well, James, again, you know, hats off to you for completing the IMHS doctoral degree program. I mean, you did great. Great approach to level-headed and grounded research, and that's one of the big things that, you know, I really appreciate about you, but just the groundedness, the clear-headedness, the critical thinking, and that's what we need in this field. We need people just like you to take it to the next level. So we wish you all the best in all of your efforts, and know that we'll, you know, be in touch all the time from now on.
Absolutely.
So thanks.
Great job, James.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking your time and being with us for a moment. We appreciate everybody else joining us tonight as well. Hopefully there was a point or two you were able to take away from it. And again, if you like what you're hearing, let other people know. MCHS Church is a metaphysical church. We are an alternative, much healthier alternative to most of the spiritual philosophies out there. Visit mchschurch.org. I say that without any compunction, because it's just true. So we'd love to have you a part of it. We're trying to grow this church, grow the school, so that we have the resources to do more humanitarian acts. And there's a lot of development in the works. In fact, we're planning our first annual conference for this next May 2014. So details will be posted on MCHS Church website, as well as at metaphysicsinstitute.org. We appreciate Dr. John Hightower on the phones with us, or manning it behind the scenes. Vicki, thanks so much. Everyone have a great week. Good night.
Good night.